James, as we've been doing on a lot of the Sunday evening lessons, and come back to James chapter 4. James chapter 4, and we're going to be looking at the first 10 verses here, James 4 verses 1 through 10, as we continue to look through here. Again, I just enjoy going through the book of James. A lot of things good that are brought out that are easy to apply to us, ourselves, and to today's time. Some of the points that we go through do get restated throughout the you know, things that we got covered in chapter 1, come back to again, but I just believe it's a good study. So we're going to pick up in James 4 and look here in verse 1. It says, "What causes quarrels and what causes fights among you? Is it not this, that your passions are at war within you? The desires you desire do not have, so you murder, you covet, and cannot attain, so you fight and quarrel, you do not have, because you do not ask. You ask and do not receive, because you ask wrongly to spend it on your passions. You adulterous people, do you not know that friendship with the world is enmity with God? Therefore, whoever wishes to be a friend of the world makes himself an enemy of God. Or do you suppose it is no purpose that the Scripture says he yearns jealously over the Spirit that he has made to dwell in us? But he gives more grace. Therefore, it says God opposes the proud, but he gives grace to the humble. Submit yourselves, therefore, to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Draw near to God, and he will draw near to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. Be wretched and mourn and weep. Let your laughter be turned to mourning and your joy to gloom. Humble yourselves before the Lord, and he will exalt you." So this evening, we're going to break these verses down and just take time going through them. And just make a few points through it, and maybe point out a few scriptures that we can look at going along with. But for the most part, just looking at these verses as we have been doing throughout this book. And first thing I want to look at is the quarrels and fights. Now, again, this is, I believe, something we've pointed out in the past already here in the book of James. But it brings out what causes these things. In James 4 and verse 1 here, it says your passions are at war within you. Your passions, your desires, your wants are at war within you. And when it brings that point out, wars within you, passions, I don't think it's just the wars and passions, the things that are taking place today. But certainly, that has part to do with that when we think about why you might be fighting with somebody else and they're fighting with you, or why people get caught up, why one country and another country get caught up in war, it's what they desire. It's what they want. So someone wants what another person has. And so they're desiring to take control. They're desiring to have more power. That they are coveting after what others have. So here in James 4 verse 2, your desires, you desire and do not have. You want something that you do not have. And so what? They get caught up in murder. They get caught up in coveting and quarreling and fighting. It's because of what they want. Even within ourselves, why do we not sometimes get to be happy and joyful and enjoy the life in which we are living today? It's because we're not content with what God has blessed us with. It's because we live this life and we see what others have, and so we start to covet what everyone else has. We see that nice truck that someone else has and you want it. You see the nice house that someone else has and you want it. You know, as we studied in the adult class on Wednesday night, and a couple of the members had brought out, you know, watching certain TV channels and seeing how they do their house and seeing how they do this, and it starts to make you go, I need to do that. I need to update. We start to want more. And again, it's not saying that we can't desire to have nice things. It's not saying that we can't enjoy nice things, but we end up going too far sometimes. We covet and we desire so much, and when we don't have it, it makes us upset. And we're at war within ourselves, or we start fighting with others, or we start stealing from others. And so, where do these things come from? They come from within ourselves. Again, this is brought back out in James chapter 1 as we started in this series of James. James 1 and verse 13 says, let no one say, when he is tempted, I am being tempted by God. For God cannot be tempted with evil, and he himself tempts no one. But each person is tempted when he is lured and enticed by his own desire. Then desire, when it is conceived, gives birth to sin, and sin, when it's fully grown, brings forth death. So again, it's just, why do these things take place?
What's within our hearts, our mind, what it is we truly are desiring? And again, it's just, we have to prioritize things. You can enjoy having money, because we know that money takes care of things. Money can give you nicer things. Money, you can get that nicer thing you don't have to fix all the time. But the main desire should always be up here with God and your family and making sure you have the necessities. And then you make that list and you go down in order. You know, Matthew 6:33, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. But others want to put other things first in life. They want to put themselves first. They want to put the vehicle first. They want to put the house first. They want to put vacation first. So we have to make sure we are following our Lord and Savior, that we have given ourselves to Him and putting the worldly things under. And so these quarrels and fights, they come within our desires. We have to learn to desire the will of God, or learn to accept the will of God. Sometimes we go to Him in prayer and we ask for certain things, right? We want certain things. We pray, God, please let us be able to go on this vacation. God, please let me have this promotion. God, please let me be able to get this vehicle. Let me get this house. God, please. But then again, it's good to go to God in prayer for all those things. I don't think there's a thing of those that you shouldn't pray to, but we also pray accordingly, with the mindset that He might say no, with the mindset that it might have to happen later. Because as we study here, James 4, and he goes forth and talks about these desires. And in verse 3, he says, you ask and you do not receive because you ask wrongly to spend it on your passions. It's just, you ask and you do not receive. At first it says in verse 2, go back to that, you do not have because you do not ask. Some get caught up in not receiving because we don't go to God in prayer. Because we don't actually seek God's help. We don't look to His will. We don't think we need our Lord. And so we don't ask, and if you don't ask again, you can't receive. Unless, again, you go about and doing it the wrong way, you just take it for yourselves, you steal certain things. Many of you get caught up in that path. But then others who do ask, they still don't receive. Why? Because they ask wrongly. They don't ask in the right manner. They don't ask with a heart of, God, please give this to me. It's, God, give it to me. And when He does it, we get mad at Him. Well, I prayed to you, God. Why didn't you let me have it? We have to learn to make sure that we pray according to God's will in 1 John chapter 5. 1 John chapter 5 and verse 14. 1 John 5 and verse 14. It says, and this is the confidence that we have toward Him, that if we ask anything according to His will, He hears us. And if we know that He hears us, and whatever we ask, we know that we have His request and that we have asked of Him. And so it's just, you know, we trust in God. We pray according to His will. Even our Lord and Savior, when He was in the garden, again, He prayed to God and He prayed for something that wasn't along with the will of the Father. He said, Lord, please let this cup pass from me. And again, if you were in the same situation, who won it? Lord, if there is any other way that I do not have to go through this suffering, through this pain and agony that I'm about to bear, but nevertheless, your will be done. Making sure that we put the will of God above all other things. We have a mindset that we think about the things that we're praying for in a manner of, you know, what I want, is that going to hurt others?
Is that going to push others away from God? Is this going to be beneficial to more than just me? Giving some thought to our prayer. Again, we'll talk about prayer more as we get to the end of James chapter 5. Especially about praying for others. But we need to make sure we go to God in prayer. Again, we go back to James chapter 1 about prayer and point out that we must believe in verse 5. If any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives generously to all without reproach, and it will be given to him, but let him ask in faith. Again, asking in faith, asking, knowing that he is there, knowing that he does hear you, knowing that he is listening, truly believing that. That again, you do have that personal friendship, that personal relationship as father and child. That he listens to your prayers. And that he does answer. So moving along here in James chapter 4, bring out the points about enemies of God. In James 4 verse 4, adulterers and adulteresses, do you not know that friendship with the world is an enmity with God? Therefore, if you want to be a friend of the world, you are an enemy of God. I mean, do we think about that verse? Who wants to be an enemy of God? Who wants to be on the opposite side? Again, we've had these lessons about the wow factor of God and how powerful it is, how much he can do, all the things that he has done. Think about those who have already been punished by God. How he flooded the earth. How he sent the plagues upon Egypt, how he destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah, how he struck down how he had caused others for leprosy, and I just think about everything. He's created a place of eternal torment for the devil and his angels. That's who you want to stand against. You choose the world and think that they are going to conquer our God. But when we choose to befriend adultery and any sexual immoral actions and drunkenness and abortion and things of this world, you set yourself as enemies of God. Again, 1 John chapter 2, 1 John 2 and verses 15. Starting in verse 15 and through 17, it says, do not love the world or the things of the world, in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the desires of the flesh and the desires of the eye, and the pride of life is not from Father, but is from the world. And the world is passing away along with its desires. But whoever does the will of God abides forever. Again, the desires. The lust of the eye, the lust of the flesh, that's you wanting, you desiring. And that's what James 4 is talking about here as we begin. And you want these things and you do not have. Again, does it line up with our Lord and Savior? In chapter 4, verse 5 here, it says, or do you suppose it is the purpose that the scripture says he yearns jealously over the spirit that he has made to dwell in us? The reason we become enemies of God again. Oh, God gets jealous? Again, go back to the mindset in Ephesians 5 as he talks about the church and how the church is like the bride of Christ. Any person who is married, has been married, you think about your spouse going about hanging out with someone else, going and doing things with someone else, you're going to get jealous. You're God's bride. You're the Lord's bride. And when we go forth and we start to play around with sin and we go forth and put other things above him and get caught up in pretty much idolatry because we are worshiping him and putting these things of the world above him, it causes him to be jealous because he loves us so much. Because he's so zealous for what is good for us, because he wants to provide for you, because he wants to take care of you, and he wants what is best. We really want to make God jealous. It's
4 and verse 6, it says, but he gives more grace. Therefore, it says, God opposes the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Again, the enemy of God is going to oppose us if we're going to continuously be prideful. We're going to continuously be focused on me, myself, and I. That is not the attitude of God. We're about to enter into the part where we talked about receiving one another for the past few lessons in the adult class. We're going to go enter into about brotherly love, loving one another. We have to be there for each other. It can't be about me, myself, and I. 4 and verse 7, therefore, it talks about resist the devil and he will flee from you. That's where we have to be. We cannot cling to the devil. We cannot cling to his temptations. We cannot continuously be caught up in his ways. Lest again, you go to Matthew and see where it says, you know, you liars and murderers, you are of your father. Who? The devil. He is a murderer. He's a father of liars. He brings out from his own resources about his life. We must resist the devil. And so we go to the opposite of these things and bring out to God about God, his grace, and how we need to draw near to God. In 4 and verse 6, it says he gives more grace. Grace to the humble. Not to those who are prideful, not to those who are going to be selfish and focused on themselves, but to those who are willing to deny themselves, those who are willing to submit themselves to God. Verse 7, submit yourselves therefore to God and resist the devil and he will flee from you. Submitting to him. Understanding, saying, I'm not the most important person. I'm not the most powerful thing in the world. And we need God's help. We need his forgiveness. We must submit to God. Draw near to God. In verse 8, draw near to God and he will draw near to you. Cleanse your hands. Purify your hearts. Again, we have to be willing to put these things aside. Go into Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2, where it tells us to be transformed by the renewing of our mind. That way we can be what? A living sacrifice. Continuously, daily, taking up our cross and following our Lord. So therefore, we must draw near to God and submit to him. In verses 9 and 10 here, it says, be wretched and mourn and weep. Let your laughter be turned to mourning and your joy to gloom. Humble yourselves before the Lord and he will exalt you. Look at it. The Bible's not telling us you can't be. The Word of God is not telling us that you can't enjoy the life. Because again, there's plenty of verses that talk about us that we should be joyful. Again, you go to James 5, we'll read about it here soon. But as we continue, in verse 13, it says, if anyone is long-suffering, let him pray. If anyone is cheerful, let him sing praise. It doesn't say, if you're cheerful, then stop it. There's times in which we should be joyful, but it's just bringing out the point of humbling yourselves. Bringing out the point that you can't be just focused all about yourself. Sometimes there's a time for joy, but you notice a brother is suffering over here. Maybe allow yourself to suffer with them. Share your joy with them so that they can have something to rejoice in. Weep with those who weep and rejoice with those who rejoice. Being there for one another. Again, not focused on me, myself, and I. And so that is the verses that I have chosen to cover this evening. Looking through James 4, verses 1 through 10, the points that we have to look at is, what is our desire? Where does this stand? Do we want the will of God, or does our desires go outside of it? If it does, then we need to transform it. We need to renew our mind, which means we need to open up our Bible and study it to see what is the will of God and continuously read it and see why it is God wants it this way, how it is profitable to be that way, until we can transform our mind to accepting his will, eventually that his will becomes our will, our want, our desire. Because we know that God wants what is best. Otherwise, he wouldn't allow us to continue to live here. He wanted to send his son down to die for you. So we extend the Lord's invitation this evening to any who need to obey the gospel, to any who need to break the congregation. If you will, let it be known as we stand and sing.